Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is November 8th, 2016, and we are on day two of our business article, The Latest in Business, pages 16 and 17 and 18 in your Advanced magazine. I've got Linda C. and Campbell Chong back with me today for day two of this business article. And today we're going to talk about Google and some of the new things they've got up their sleeve. And before we get into that, though, I just always like to review something from the previous day. And yesterday we were talking about Uber and some of the auto manufacturers investing in Uber and Lyft and some of those ride-sharing programs. And we were talking about this article from yesterday, and Linda and Campbell had a couple things that they wanted to mention just as a wrap-up on that. So first, Linda.
Well, yeah, we talked about how Uber and these ride-sharing apps have blown up and that people are just using them everywhere. And besides being a cheaper option than taxis, these ride-sharing companies are also a safer option. People feel that it's much safer to get a ride from Uber than to get a ride from a taxi.
All right, now, it's a very important point, safety. And I can think of, for instance, somebody like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's midnight.
Female, yeah.
You're in a big city. And, you know, it's a little scary. It's kind of a scary proposition for you to get into a strange vehicle. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you might hail a taxi. It might be something that, you know, man, we might not think about so much.
Right.
But I know there have been incidents where it's been a problem for women.
Yeah, it's something we always have to think about.
This is extremely important. It's something we don't talk about much.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about business and investment and revenue, but there's the deeply personal issue of safety in this.
Right.
And also the idea of accountability. I don't know if you've ever stepped into a taxi and then you wonder if they're kind of overcharging you.
Oh, I always wonder that.
Well, with Uber, there's accountability because they track, you know, there's GPS, so they track the mm-hmm. length of mm-hmm. the ride, you know. And so, I mean, one time back to Miami, we went someplace, and then on the way back, we took Uber both ways. And I noticed that the price that we paid going compared to the price we came back was like 2-3 times more.
Oh, really?
And I was just, what's going on, you know? But because of Uber, they showed you the map, and we noticed that the driver going there, I guess he forgot to turn off the meter or something, and he ended up like driving halfway back to where we were before he turned off the meter. So we got charged like $20-$30 more than we did on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, we were able to contact Uber and say, hey, listen, mm-hmm. you know, we were overcharged and we've gotten our money back.
Yeah.
But if in a regular taxi, you wouldn't be able to do that
right.
because there was no tracking system.
Exactly. And if you have a complaint, like if the car was dirty or if you didn't like the driver, then you right when you get out of the ride, then mm-hmm. you can make a complaint and it goes straight to Uber.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple things there. One, you mentioned pricing, and one of the things with Uber and Lyft is that they do have, there are different pricing schedules, we might say. For instance, they have surge pricing mm-hmm. is something, and that might be like really busy times,
right.
and you're in New York City, and so maybe between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. would be considered surge pricing
right.
time.
Yeah.
It's rush hour. There's high demand, so you're mm-hmm. going to have slightly different rates.
Right.
However, it's still an attractive option.
Yeah.
Price-wise.
Yeah.
And you make a great point, Linda, about the complaint issue is that there is some accountability because mm-hmm. there is tracking because it's an app. It all starts with you using the app,
mm-hmm.
and that starts the tracking process, who responds. So you can always be tracked. You are the one that initiated the contact. Then they know which drivers. There's
mm-hmm.
tracking of the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
There is accountability. So whether it's, you know, if the car's dirty or the driver is driving like a crazy person,
mm-hmm.
there is much more accountability with this system because of this tracking. Rather than if, for instance, if I just get in a taxi here in Taipei, there's no tracking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm standing on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I hail a taxi. Guy picks me up. Sometimes I get in, it's a good driver, sometimes I get in, and he thinks he's Michael Schumacher
mm-hmm.
driving an F1 race around Taipei. I have like almost no options
mm-hmm.
dealing with that situation.
Yeah.
And And again, that goes back to the safety issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's all tracked. You entered the system by making a request on the app.
Mm-hmm.
Their driver responded. And whereas if you're just hailing a taxi, there's no tracking, which actually makes it less safe.
Right. So people know where I am and know who's driving me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you do this. Sometimes what I do is a lot of times when I get in a taxi here, they do have their license number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will actually either make a note of the license number, or if there is an issue, I'll take a picture of the of that.
Yeah. But sometimes you forget. Like, I try to make a note, you know, or even their number, but sometimes I don't remember until after I've gotten out of the taxi. I'm like, oh,
it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way. You know?
So. And you left your phone sitting on the back seat, and the guy has driven off. All right, that was yesterday. This is today, and today is Google Day. We're going to talk about some new things that Google has got up their sleeve. That's a figure of speech I had mentioned in the introduction. When we say got something up his sleeve, Campbell's got something up his sleeve. What do I mean, Campbell?
It just means that you have not necessarily a trick, but, you know, you've got some plans in the works.
Yeah, some new stuff that you haven't seen yet. So, and what are we talking about when they've got some new stuff?
Well, referring to advertising, they have some new ideas on how they're going to address advertising issues.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to see if they can cash in on its pivot. So let's have our first reading for today. Can Google cash in on its pivot? By tracking web browsing, emails, chats, and more, Google has become a dominant force in digital ads. It mines that wealth of personal data to present ads to the people most likely to care about them. But most of the ads Google technology places across the internet won't make sense anymore if the types of products and apps the company announced at its annual I/O Developers Conference catch on. For instance, the small Google Home drum listens to spoken commands and responds with words of its own. Where does an ad fit in? In general, Google wants to provide instant answers rather than having people peruse traditional search results, some of which are ads. The ad business isn't going away anytime soon, but they're looking at all these new areas, and the question is, how do you monetize those? Said e-marketer analyst Martin Utreras. Okay, Google is always coming up with new things, right, Campbell?
That's right. I mean, it's a tech company, so it's constantly in development, and that's one of the things that they try to do is to bring about new technology.
All right, and part of bringing about new technology is tracking information. They do a lot of it, right?
Yes, they do, through, you know, their search engine. They track a lot of information.
Yeah, they are tracking the information, not only, we say web browsing here, that's like all of the websites that you are visiting throughout the day, emails, chats, and more. Google takes a lot of this information, the information they can get, and says, all right, we've got a pretty good idea about this Campbell Chong guy.
It's kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole big data thing, you know? And, I mean, a lot of where Google makes its money is in ad revenue, right? Because it's a free service, so none of us have ever paid to use Google. But the way they make money is they allow companies to advertise with them. And I don't know if you've noticed lately that when you're on Google or Facebook, the ads often are directly related to whatever you were searching.
Yeah,
you know?
Like right away, immediately.
Yeah.
Like I just looked on this website.
Yeah.
And then the next thing when I, you know, open up my email, the ad next to it is, it's from that website.
The exact thing that you were looking at.
it is creepy. That comes about because Google mines that wealth of personal data that you have been doing. And when we say they mine that wealth, what do we mean by that?
It means that they collect it. Mm-hmm. Right? They collect it and then they use it.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a coal mine or a gold mine. They're digging into all your information and they're pulling out those nuggets of information, trying to calculate, what can we get Campbell to spend his money on?
Right. I mean, the idea here is if you can show ads that are directly related to something that they're interested in, something that they're searching, or something that they were just looking at, then the turnover rate, would be, conversion rate would probably be higher.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, in the next paragraph, we see, however, but most of the ads Google technology places across the Internet
won't make sense anymore if the types of products and apps that they've announced at their annual I.O. Developers Conference catch on. Mm-hmm. And here, catch on just means to gain in popularity or to spread.
Yeah. Okay, so they have been historically doing this thing, and historically, I mean 5 or 10 years, tracking all of the stuff you're doing, picking out the ads then. They have an algorithm that then picks out these ads. And what they're saying here is it's slightly changing.
Yeah, and this is the pivot that we talk about in the title of this section. So basically there's a shift coming. They have new technology, but because of the new technology, it kind of messes a little bit with the way they used to do things.
Yeah, it's going to change the way they can find data and use it. Just for your information, I checked out what does I.O. mean, and actually it just means, there's two things I discovered from their website. It means input-output, input/output, or innovation in the open. So that's what that I.O. means, and of course it's just a gathering of thinkers and doers in the technology world that happens at their headquarters, or near their headquarters in Mountain View, California. All right, now, for instance, some of these new ways of getting information or new technology, we've got listed in the next paragraph.
All right, so that's just speaking a command, and then it responds in words.
Okay.
So the question is, where does an ad fit in?
Okay. This is for the Google Home Drum. This thing listens to spoken commands. Do you use any spoken app?
Yeah, I use Siri on my phone, and it's convenient, you know. When I'm too lazy to get up and set my phone, I'll just say, hey, Siri, wake me up at 6, and then it'll set my alarm for me.
Okay. Linda?
Well, I use it to type messages because I hate typing on the, you know, the phone. Mm-hmm. So that's really convenient, or to search for stuff, you know. But a lot of times it doesn't get it correct, though. In a
I mean, this technology is pretty amazing. I mean, like, I was just home recently, and I was at a friend's house, and her 5-year-old daughter, you know, all of a sudden was just like, hey, whatever, you know, play such and such a song. And then it just started playing. Yeah. I was like a 5-year-old just talking into the air, and suddenly there's music playing in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, I don't know if it was one of my brother and his kids, they've got this one at their house. I think it's Alexa.
Yeah.
It's I think it's an Amazon app. And yeah, they'll do this thing. I was at their house, and they're like, oh, hey, Alexa, what's the temperature? And then, you know, it starts giving this response, you know, and or play this song.
Yeah.
So it's really pretty amazing, some of the stuff, how this works. Now, we get back to this Google Home thing. We're trying to figure out, okay, where does an ad fit in? In general?
Well, in general, Google wants to provide instant answers rather than having people peruse traditional search results, some of which are ads. So in the past, or right now, what we do is we go on Google, and then they give you a list of response, right? We do a search, and they give you a list of response, and the top of the page is usually a bunch of ads. But right now, when you're talking to this Google Home, it's just going to give you an answer, so it's not going to give you all these options to look through.
Mm-hmm. What do we mean, peruse?
Means to look through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you might peruse these ads. A lot of times we might say peruse a book.
Mm-hmm.
You might flip through a book, try to see if you're interested in it, look at the pictures in there. So, and our final paragraph in this reading, we hear from e-marketer analyst Martin Uteris. What does Martin say?
And he says, the ad business isn't going away anytime soon, but they're looking at all these new areas, and the question is, how do you monetize those?
Okay. Now, I had underlined isn't going away anytime soon. That's a figure of speech. What does that mean?
It just means that it's not going to disappear. Basically, it's going to continue to be relevant, and it's going to continue to be important.
Okay. All right. So the way they've been doing things is not going to disappear all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
They will still do it. They're adjusting. Google is adjusting. They are looking into these new areas. The big question being...
Yeah, how do you make money from it?
Yeah, how do you monetize this? All right, we got a great idea. A lot of people have great ideas. The question is, how do you monetize this?
Right.
Yeah, so because many great ideas are in the scrapyard right
yes.
now because they were great ideas, but you couldn't make money on them. So, okay, let's have our second reading for today. A move in the right direction. The forthcoming Home device and the chat apps Allo and Duo show that Google recognizes it can't let the likes of Amazon.com, Snapchat, and Facebook go unchallenged. The offerings are attempts to build up their own services and attract more users than their competitors, said Gartner Vice President Mark Hung. Allo learns a user's writing style and automatically suggests replies to messages. Home includes Google's new assistant tool that will combine contextual clues like a user's location with multiple databases to present actionable information. A move in the right direction.
That's right. So the forthcoming Home device and the chat apps Allo and Duo show that Google recognizes it can't let the likes of Amazon.com, Snapchat, and Facebook go unchallenged.
Wow. I love these advanced articles where we have these one-sentence paragraphs. They're just loaded with information and words, and I love you advanced listeners because you actually listen to this and sort this out with us.
That's
so,
right.
All right, first off, forthcoming. What does forthcoming mean, Linda?
That is just means that something is happening soon or coming up.
Yep. Okay. And the coming up Home device and also the chat apps, actually Allo and Duo, I believe they actually exist. This has all just happened within the last several months. And Allo is like a messenger app that you can use for messaging, instant messaging. And you can send pictures and also text messages with that. And it's based on phone numbers. Allo and Duo are based on your phone number. So it saves a step in the process. Duo is a video app as far as you can then have video phone calls
mm-hmm.
with people. Do you have either one of these?
I don't. But, you know, as you're talking... I'll admit, like, when I was younger, I couldn't understand why older people couldn't get on top of this new technology. Come on, just get with it. But
yeah.
As I get older and all this new stuff is coming, I'm like, I can't keep up, you
it
know?
It just keeps coming.
I can't keep up. I'm like, what is Allo and Duo and Snapchat? And
yeah.
I remember last month they were talking about Gramming. Do you know what Gramming
no,
is?
No, I don't.
See?
But Instagramming?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
but our interns,
oh, okay.
they knew what Gramming was.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I can't keep up.
It just keeps coming. There's just like a new app. Like every week there's like these new things. So,
okay, so Allo and Duo.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So these are two apps that also are Google products.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for it is they're worried about the competition. That's why they say they can't let the likes of or let competitors like Amazon.com, Snapchat, and Facebook go unchallenged. So the offerings we see in the next paragraph are...
to build up their own services and attract more users than their competitors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so this new chat app, Allo, you know, it's like, what do they use?
It would be like maybe like, it would be similar to Line.
Right, but the one they use in chat.
WeChat.
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp in the U.S. So it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the added feature about Allo is that you can do searches right in the app.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the chat can see it as well. So if you're looking for restaurants that you and your friends want to go for dinner, then, you know, the restaurant suggestions would come up and everyone would be able to see it and then be able to discuss and choose together.
Okay.
So that's like the extra feature that they have.
Yep.
Because you don't want to switch apps for, you know, if it has the same features as the one you're using.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the issues that is coming up is that we're bouncing between all these different apps, and then you end up spending time bouncing between different apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's information that's lost when you do that. That quote in the second paragraph comes from Mark Hung. It says, Gartner, Vice President Gartner, is a tech research firm. So, and they analyze developments in the tech world. Third paragraph, we say.
Well, it says, Owl learns the user's writing style and automatically suggests replies to messages.
Mm.
So basically, they're not canned responses like BRB, be right back, you know, whatever. It actually learns how you speak, and it will give responses.
Yeah, so right now we might type in, you got a vocabulary, right, that fills in the vocabulary once you start typing in words.
Right.
This is almost an extension of it. It might give you entire sentences based upon your history.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what an interesting thing that Allo will do. Well, you don't even have to write the entire response. They'll fill it in for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you like it, then you can click on it.
Right.
Now, going back to Home, this audio input system, Home includes Google's new assistant tool that will combine
contextual clues like the user's location with multiple databases to present actionable information.
Okay, that's a super advanced sentence now. What do we mean by contextual, Linda?
And contextual is just something that's related to the context. So based upon what you're talking about, or here it says where you're located, that they can present to you information. Maybe, oh, here's a good place to check out while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Or just, I mean, something simple like if you say, what's the weather like today? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll know, well, right now we're in Taipei. You're probably asking about Taipei. You're not asking me what the weather's like in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Okay. A lot of times we might say, well, you have to consider things in context.
Yes.
And what that means is somebody might say something, but that means you have to consider the whole story behind that. So, all right. Now, using multiple databases, it will then present actionable information. So, information that you can use and process. Let's have our final reading for today. Shaping ads will be a challenge. If a user turns to Allo to chat with a bot developed by retailer Sephora to buy a new makeup set, can Google interject with a video ad for a new hair curler? Or does Google forego ads on Allo and simply charge a fee to Sephora for bringing them business? Transaction revenue could be a lot more lucrative than standard ads, Hung noted. Assuming Google can continue to place ads in other companies' apps and draw people to its standard mobile searching tools, maintaining a steady business shouldn't be a challenge. Okay, Bill Quinn here with Linda C. and Campbell Chong. We're on our final reading for today of our business article, Can Google Cash In on Its Pivot? This final section is titled, Shaping Ads Will Be a Challenge.
That's right. So we've been talking about these new devices that Google is developing, but because of these new devices, they need to shift. They need to change the way they're dealing with ads, since ad revenue is one of their biggest sources of money. So if a user turns to Allo, and again, Allo is the chat app, and they start chatting with a bot or a robot developed by the retailer Sephora. Sephora is a makeup, it's a company that sells makeup, and they're talking to this robot about buying a new makeup set. Well, how is Google going to make money from this interaction?
Okay, yeah, bots, these are automatic programs that just provide repeated information. We see them often on the Internet when we are bouncing around the Internet. But now this is going to be appearing in this app, Allo. And so if you see this bot by retailer Sephora, and then you're going to buy some products from them, the question is, can Google interject with a video. What do we mean by interject, Linda?
It means to insert or interrupt with a video.
Yeah. Okay. So Allo would know that, okay, Linda's on this Sephora site. She's buying certain products. Maybe she's buying this new makeup set. They immediately then identify your purchase, and then they're going to put this ad in to do what?
To sell you something else, maybe a new hair curler.
Yeah. Okay. So earlier in the program, we were talking about how you might be bouncing around the internet. You're looking at certain websites, and then you go to a new website. There, an ad pops up on the side. This is actually quicker.
Uh-huh.
This is, you're like right in the process of buying, and this thing's going to pop up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is.
It's a little scary.
Yes.
All right. So that's one way of doing it. They interject the video, or does Google...
Or does Google forego ads on Allo and simply charge a fee to Sephora for bringing them business? And when we say to forego, it means just don't even consider it, right? Or to not even do it, just give up on it and skip over it and just do something else.
Okay. All right. So that's a different way. Instead of the ad popping up, maybe Google would just charge Sephora for bringing them business, and then they call this transaction revenue, and that's just simply, hey, we help you make this sale, you give us 3%.
Right.
So that's a transaction revenue. This could be a lot more lucrative or financially attractive for Google than standard ads, and that is actually from Mark Hung, who we heard from before, the Gartner vice president. Our final paragraph says...
Assuming Google can continue to place ads in other companies' apps and draw people to its standard mobile searching tools, maintaining a steady business shouldn't be a challenge for them.
I'm not worried about Google. They're going to make money.
Yes.
They'll figure out a way to make this work. Their problem is choosing what's the best way.
Right.
So they've got all sorts of different ways, and I'm sure they'll figure it out. They're smart people.
Yes.
Okay. Listeners, thanks for being with us today. We've got a couple sidebars. We didn't cover them today, but we will cover them the first part of tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.